Okay.
And senators, we always have to keep five members.
Five members?
Yes.
Okay, all right. All right, members, we're ready to get started, so I'd ask our administrative assistant to call the roll.
Mr. Chair.
Here.
Senator Joyner, Senator Bennett, Senator Brennan, Senator Gardner, Senator Richter, Senator Simmons, Senator Flores. A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. I'd just remind the senators, we are at the minimum for a quorum, so hope everybody can stay throughout the meeting that's here, unless we drag somebody else in, which I don't think we will today. Let me just basically say good morning, and the record will reflect that Chair Flores and Vice Chair Joyner have excused absences. Senator Brennan also has an excused absence following the birth of his the newest member of the Brennan family, Brandon Glenn Brennan, who was born on November 10th, and something about this committee, I guess. I think Senator Bennett and I probably are beyond worrying about that. Well, I could be, never know. Senator Gardner, of course, is still of age, and I don't know about Senator Simmons either. He's in the middle there. But in any event, this is a great committee. I'm sure we're going to have a good meeting today. Senator Flores asked that I chair the meeting today. I apologize for the late start. I had a bill in another committee that I had to get done that. I'd also like to note that our President Pro Tem, Senator Bennett, is joining us today. Under Senate Rule 2.27, President Herodopoulos designated the Pro Tem to serve on the Judiciary Committee for today's meeting, and we're glad to have you, Senator Bennett. Thank you for being here. So following that introductory business, let's move to our agenda, tab one. First up is Senate Bill 520 by Senator Brennan, an act relating to veterans guardianship. Presenting the bill for the senator is the sponsor of the companion House measure, Representative Bernard of West Palm Beach. Representative, we're honored to have you here today. Thank you for being here. And I know you'll be handling the bill, and you're recognized to explain it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senators, this bill, Senate Bill 520, repeals the Veterans Guardianship Bill, and senators, that's the bill.
Okay. Any questions? Senator Bennett.
Thank you. What is the Veterans Guardianship Bill? What did it do that it didn't do?
Senator Bernard, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What this bill does is it repeals the section of the law that refers to the statutes that have been repealed. And the substantive law is contained now in the current Veterans Guardianship Act.
Further questions? All right, there are no amendments. Are there members of the public who wish to speak? I don't believe we have any cards on this bill. Representative Bernard, you're recognized to close on the bill. And having heard your closing, the administrative assistant will call the roll.
Senator Bennett. Yes. Senator Brennan. Senator Gardner. Senator Richter, Senator Simmons, Senator Flores, Senator Joyner, Mr. Chair.
Yes, by your vote, the bill passes. Thank you very much, Representative. We appreciate you being here. Let's turn to tab two. The next bill on our agenda is Senate Bill 522, also by Senator Brennan, an act relating to judicial census commissions. And Representative Bernard, you're going to present that as well. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senators, Senate Bill 522 repeals the statute relating to the Judicial Census Commission. Prior versions of our state constitution required one circuit judge for every 50,000 residents in a circuit, and in 1973, the constitution was amended to provide that the Supreme Court report to the legislature on the need for additional judges. Therefore, the statutory provision related to the Judicial Census Commission is no longer needed. Senators, that's the bill.
Okay. There are questions? See no questions. There are no amendments. Anybody from the public wishing to be heard on the bill? We have none. All right. Are there any further questions to the committee? Debate? Seeing none, Representative Bernard, having explained the bill and closed on the bill, administrative assistant, call the roll.
Senator Bennett, Senator Brennan, Senator Gardner, Senator Richter, Senator Simmons, yes. Senator Flores, Senator Joyner, Mr. Chair.
Yes, and so by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Bernard, for being here. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving. Lastly, senators, we're going to have a staff presentation of the committee's interim project reviewing mortgage foreclosure processes. I'd ask the staff member, Barry Monroe, to come forward for that presentation. And while he's getting up to the podium, I want to remind the committee that in early October, we received an update on the mortgage foreclosure challenges facing our state. We had a number of people testify, including Amy Baker from our Office of Economic Demographic Research, and a number of statistics were presented in regard to the foreclosure crisis. At that time, Senator Simmons asked Ms. Baker to provide some additional information on the judicial versus non-judicial foreclosure. Mrs. Baker has submitted that information, which has been distributed in hard copy to you, and we thank her for that supplemental information. With that, Mr. Monroe, you can begin whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Senators. I'm Barry Monroe, and I will be presenting the review on issues and options related to foreclosure processes. This report identifies the differences between judicial and non-judicial foreclosure, examines issues that may impede the progress of cases in Florida's judicial foreclosure process, reviews responses by the state court system to the foreclosure crisis, and analyzes prior statutory reforms designed to expedite the foreclosure process. I'd like to remind you that mortgage agreements are contracts in and of themselves, and foreclosure is a serious remedy to declare the whole of the principal sum and interest secured by the mortgage due and payable. In fact, the term mortgage is derived from the French word mort, and meaning it means death, and the Old English gage, which means debt. So in sum, it means death to the debt. As of 2008, an estimated 25 states use non-judicial foreclosure as their primary method of foreclosure. 19 states use a judicial foreclosure process, and about 6 states use both processes to foreclose on mortgage property. States are almost evenly divided in whether their laws require lenders to seek judicial action to foreclose a mortgage. Judicial foreclosure, for instance, is a process in which the lender must file a complaint and obtain a court order to foreclose a mortgage, and is litigated like any other civil action. Non-judicial foreclosure, on the other hand, is a private procedure, and it represents a contract between the lender and the borrower where they contractually give the power to a trustee in a power of sale contract or mortgage, deed of trust, or a separate agreement. A non-judicial foreclosure is believed by many scholars to be relatively simpler, quicker, and cheaper method of foreclosure. The party given the party to power to foreclose by sale must do so in accordance with relevant state law. But herein strikes the difference between the two procedures, the judicial and the non-judicial foreclosure process. In a non-judicial foreclosure process, the borrower must, or the other aggrieved party, must file a lawsuit seeking to enjoin the foreclosure. Otherwise, the person foreclosing on the property generally does not submit to any judicial process in order to ensure that they're following the relevant state law. Florida's judicial process is quite unique, and it follows basically the property system that Florida has developed over the years. State law governs the process and the timeline. The average timeline nationally between a missed payment signaling a default and a foreclosure sale, generally for all states, is about 1 year. There are no easy answers for why it takes longer in a judicial foreclosure state to foreclose a mortgage in default. Judicial foreclosure is a process that identifies potential defects in an adversarial process between opposing parties. In Florida, foreclosure takes about 24 months, and there are no easy answers as to why foreclosure is protracted. In some cases, practitioners and judges cite variables that can separately or in convergence impede foreclosures. There are many reasons asserted by legal practitioners and judges as to why it takes longer in Florida to foreclose. Some delay in Florida has been attributed to lending industry practices of assigning mortgages which directly bear on the production of documents establishing who has the authority to foreclose. Failure by some plaintiffs to produce documents integral to adjudication of a matter, litigation strategy of some defendants to review cases, case files in advance of hearings, and of course the volatility of the foreclosure filings. The Supreme Court's requirement for attorneys of foreclosure plaintiffs to verify the ownership and the right to enforce promissory notes highlights the needs for diligence on the part of the litigating parties in these foreclosure proceedings. While we were reviewing this process, we ran across a federal law that limits the ability of lenders to require nonjudicial foreclosure in certain mortgage requirements. This, the Federal DOT Act, prohibits any contractual arrangement or requirement that would impose the use of a nonjudicial foreclosure as a process for mortgages on principal dwellings and foreclosed-in mortgages on secondary dwellings. Practitioners are still trying to look at court cases and decipher what does this actually mean as it relates to the nonjudicial foreclosure process. And lastly, I'd like to bring to your attention a fast-track procedure, which was adopted by the legislature in 1993 as part of the recommendations that were made by a commission that was adopted, that was created by the legislature to look at foreclosure processes. The plaintiff's foreclosure bar has expressed concern that this show cause proceeding, which is under Section 702.10 Florida statutes, has not been fully utilized because attorneys consider the proceedings to be limited to non-residential property. The order to show cause procedure was enacted by the legislature in 1993. This order to show cause procedure was designed to be used as a fast-track procedure to litigate mortgage foreclosure and involves two types of proceedings. The first proceeding is initiated in a hearing which is based on an order to show cause why the foreclosure judgment should not be entered. And if the defendant waives the right to be heard, the judge may promptly enter a final judgment of foreclosure. Under subsection 1 of this section, it doesn't specify a standard for the court to use when considering a defendant's defensive motions or answers to show cause order. If the defendant files any defenses by a motion or by a verified or sworn answer at or before the hearing, it constitutes cause and precludes the entry of a final judgment and is sufficient to deny relief. On average and with due diligence on behalf of the plaintiff, it takes about 70 to 90 days to foreclose using the show cause proceeding. The second type of proceeding is basically under subsection 2 of that section, and it allows it's sort of a pay-as-you-go sort of proceeding. If you assert as a defendant that a defendant borrower that you shouldn't be subject to foreclosure, then in these situations which involve non-residential property, and mostly they are of a commercial debt character, you should have to put up some type of bond or some type of surety that the proceeding should be held at abeyance. The second type of proceeding is, again, I will remember and point out to you that it's limited to non-residential real estate foreclosures. A defendant must show cause why an order to make payment to the lender during the pendency of the foreclosure proceedings or an order to vacate the premises should not be entered. Stakeholders in this situation have suggested that this subsection needs modification to clarify that property other than residential real estate also applies to property that is residential and not homestead, but whose debt is commercial in character. And in sum, senators, I'd like to share with you that this report has examined a number of factors that affect the litigation through the current judicial foreclosure process. It doesn't offer any recommendations on the alternative process. Based on the research and findings in this report, there are approaches that the legislature may wish to consider if it wishes to enact policy in this area, recognizing that some of the approaches may face challenges to obtain consensus among the diverse stakeholders affected by mortgage foreclosure. In addition, a state's adoption of nonjudicial foreclosure process may raise preemption concerns under the recently enacted federal Dodd-Frank Act. Senators, are there any questions?
Senators, are there any questions? Yes, sir. We'll, Senator Richter, start with you, and Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A quick question. When you browsed over the preemption created by Frank Dodd, and I think you indicated that people are trying to bright minds are trying to figure out exactly what that is. Can you expand a little bit more on what your opinion of that conflict is with Frank Dodd and the state's current environment?
Well, basically, Senator,
recognize.
Basically, the provision requires that if there's a mortgage agreement, that it not require the use of a nonjudicial foreclosure. And there are some aspects of that which I believe would invoke a requirement that they not arbitrate as well, but that the borrower and lender would use a judicial forum in order to move forward. We've, during the interim, we spoke to a number of parties. We also did our own independent research, and we could not run across any cases that really gave us more detail as to what that would mean, what that would mean in terms of a real controversy. Obviously, there are states that have moved forward with their nonjudicial foreclosure process, and practitioners are looking for, I guess, more a more definitive statement from the courts as to what that means.
Sir, a follow-up. This can be a free flow. There's small, okay. We're a small group. We got plenty of time, and so take as long as you want to.
I mean, then, thank you. I appreciate that. And then just kind of as a quick follow-up, I see from the material that you've handed out, roughly half of the states have judicial and the other half have non-judicial happenings or foreclosure processes. Would that indicate, your response indicate at this point, understanding that there's not a clear distinction on what Frank Dodd's doing because it's a convoluted piece of federal regulation. But based on your explanation, would that indicate that all those states that have the non-judicial process would be out of compliance with federal regulation?
Go ahead, Mr. Monroe.
Without adding too much complexity to the process, you know, the Dodd-Frank Act was adopted, and there were existing contracts that were in place. And so with those existing contracts and mortgages, it could not impair without inviting yet another constitutional provision to impair those contracts that existed. So I think that when you think in terms of the Dodd Act, you have to think again back to the fact that mortgages are agreements and that the existing agreements were contracts, and that if you have any legislature, including the federal government, that would pass legislation, that if it applied to those contracts, it would impair those contracts to the extent that it changed them. So we're talking about you know, a time period of perhaps the average length of a mortgage contract to really get a sense of how that act, probably the Federal Dodd Act, would affect those particular contracts in non-judicial foreclosure states.
Senator Bennett and Senator Simmons.
Thank you. I tried to deal with this issue a little bit last year, and obviously there's a whole group of people out there that think if you're going to non-judicial foreclosure, you know, you're going to take away all the rights of the people and the rest of it. So it kind of goes down a sticky wicket. But one of the other areas that I'm looking at is trying to find ways to protect the asset that a bank has a mortgage on and has been abandoned. Do you know, do any of the states out there right now have a non-judicial foreclosure that deals with abandoned property, even though it's a residence? Because that's kind of the area that I'm going down, looking for a way that a bank can protect the assets and take over the maintaining the residence or whatever. So I guess I'm looking for some input on maybe just those issues. And can we, in your opinion, could you write a bill that would only deal with the abandoned and non-judicial foreclosure as a way to speed that up.
Mr. Monroe.
Senator, I did not expressly see any state that had a process that dealt with abandoned property per se, but I can say that in talking to parties here in Florida, the show cause proceeding could be modified and could be used as is and with slight modifications, which I just discussed under Section 702.10, the subsection 1, could be used in a situation where there are no material facts at issue for the issue of reconciling a foreclosure process, where the buyer or borrower and the lender agree that there is a default, that there are no problems with the standing or the authority of the lender to enforce the proceeding, and it could be used as an expedited process to move forward.
Anything further, Senator Bennett? Senator Simmons? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you go ahead and get us the actual language of the Dodd-Frank bill? I'd like to see the exact language as to what it prohibits and doesn't prohibit, because if it's only dealing with prohibiting a lender from requiring that someone use a submit to a non-judicial foreclosure, I don't see how that would impact us or keep us from going ahead and implementing a some kind of non-judicial foreclosure proceeding that would apply. And we would have to, of course, each person would have to look at his own mortgage to see whether or not there's an obligation for a judicial foreclosure. And we'd certainly have to analyze whether or not this process would apply to new foreclosures or and new mortgages, or only to, could it apply only, or should it apply only to new foreclosure processes? But I, having used the Section 702.10, it just seems to me that we could create a hybrid here in the state of Florida, and tighten up the language of Section 702.10. Apply it to residential property, and then when you're talking about the defenses that would be available, if someone really doesn't have a defense, then we can provide that the judgment will be entered promptly, and we can move these things forward without any great difficulty. I just think that the existing expedited procedure can be applied to residential foreclosures. And when there is no real dispute about non-payment, we can use that to clean out the backlog. And I don't think that that's going to have any kind of prohibition against using it on proceedings now and in place. And any foreclosure that's filed, it just seems to me that that is an option that would be able to be used by the lender as a process, expedite his or her own foreclosure. And I think that and hiring some retired judges, and we would be able to clean out the foreclosure backlog here in the state of Florida without any significant difficulty.
Thank you, Senator Simmons. You did it, as always, much more eloquently than I did last time, but I just happen to believe that this is one of the real drivers of the problems we're having with our economy right now. And whatever we can do within reason, fairness to everybody, to expedite some of these procedures along the way, and as you say, get the backlog. Our judges are working hard. I know they are. We had a judge in here, I think, in our last committee meeting that I think he indicated he had over 800 cases on his docket of just foreclosures, and he was working them every single day. But we've got to give them some help. I don't think we can get this done without some help. And whether it's statutory or whether it's giving the resources for using retired judges, as you said, Senator Simmons, you certainly know that better than I do. But whatever we need to do, I think it's appropriate for this to be one of the most I think, interesting and important issues that we take up. And we obviously don't have any action today, but I know when Senator Flores returns, she would appreciate anybody's input and everybody's input as to whether or not we move ahead with a particular bill in this committee, or if there are individual bills out there that we look at them and make sure that we pay close attention to this particular issue as we move into the session. And thank you, Mr. Monroe, for your oversight and opinion. And we have two distinguished jurists in the audience, Judge Perry and Judge Laurent. I know neither one of them want to probably come up here and talk about that, but we're glad to have you. And if you would like to come up and talk about it, we'd Judge Perry, you had a case that took 7 or 8 long weeks. It seemed like you didn't push that hard enough, but I mean, no, I'm just teasing. Angela, is it Pico? Are you here? I know you turned in a card to talk about clerk court funding, and that's really not on our agenda today, but certainly we would be happy to make sure that Senator Flores understands that, and we'd be happy to have your input at another meeting. I know you're here in Tallahassee, so, and you're on behalf of the trial lawyers section of the Florida Bar. Is there anything else, members, come before the committee? Any other questions, observations? Eric, thank you for making a rookie chairman look good, as always. And with that concludes our agenda. And Senator Bennett moves we rise.
And Senator Bennett also says, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. To everybody, happy Thanksgiving.